This is Rabbi Feldman's shiur. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Kalman Seidenfeld and his family in memory of his mother, whose yard site is this week.
Okay, good evening. Last week we spoke in general terms about the mitzvah ben Adam le-Chaveiro in general and some of the ways in which they possibly differ from mitzvah ben Adam le-Makom. Tonight, we're still talking generally, but a little more specifically. I'd like to begin now, especially to coincide with Parshas Vayera, where really a lot of these issues really come out, somewhat of a mini-series on topics of chesed, so it was meant to segue from the general but Adam L'Chaveiro realm of last week, eventually into more specific chesed mitzvos in the coming weeks. Hachnasas Arachim and Bikur Cholim are both associated with this week's parsha, and Yichum Avelim comes up afterwards in the parsha. So around these parshas, we'd like to discuss those topics. And for tonight, we're still talking in a somewhat general sense about chesed as a whole. So the idea of chesed is a theme that we find again throughout the Torah. The Gemara actually tells us that the Torah starts and ends with chesed. It starts with Malbish Arumim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives clothing to Adam and Chava, and it ends with the mitzvah of Kura that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. So Kadosh Baruch Hu models chesed for us at the beginning and at the end of the Torah. It's the theme of the book throughout, but especially as we'll see in Parshas and Sefer Bereishis, especially in Parshas Vayera and the like, it's an especially dominant theme. And we find the mitzvah of chesed coming at us from a couple of different angles. Now, on the one hand, we have a mitzvah of Acharei Hashem Elokecha Tilechu, that we're told we have to follow in God's ways. So the Gemara Maseches Sota says, how is that possible? It doesn't seem like something we can really do. As Eishach Lo, it's a burning fire, how are you going to walk after him? At least the problems of Eishach Lo, but how do you walk after God? So the Gemara says what this means is in the sense of you follow in his midos, you follow in his qualities, and just like he's Malbish Arumim, and just like he's Kovar Mesim, and just like he's Bikur Mirakar Cholim. So we do all these things to be like God. We copy his acts of compassion and kindness in order to be like him. And then we have another source for general concepts of chesed. It's an unusual drasha the Gemara has in the Shachas Bav Mashiach on the pasuk that it's really kind of in the middle of nowhere, that Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu is being told by Yisro how you should organize a better system of judgment, and you shouldn't have this whole thing, everybody comes to you, and you have to set up a multi-tier court system. And he says, go adapt them, and he says, but you should teach them how to live, how to walk. And so the Gemara has an interesting drush on all the words in that pasuk, that this is a reference to Bikur Cholim and Beis HaChayim, whatever that means, and different aspects of life. So certain aspects of chesed are invoked in that pasuk. That's what Yisrael is telling Moshe. You should teach the people how to be Mavakar Cholim, how to do acts of chesed. And that's also quoted as one of the sources in some places, according to some Rishonim, that's quoted as a source for a din of chesed min hatar. And then there is the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, which is maybe the most well-known, that we recite every day. It's part of Az Yashir, it's part of the Shira Sayyam. So we say, Zek Kelevi and Veyu, this is our God, this is my God, and I will glorify him. Herman Wolf wrote a book by that title, that this is my God. So how do you glorify God? How is that possible? So the Gemara says, you have to understand the word, Vanveyu, Ani, Vahu, I will be like him. Have you done well? Should be God-like. Mahu rachum v'chan and afata rachum v'chan. Just like he's merciful and compassionate, so too you're also merciful and compassionate, etc., etc. So already you have already three makoros, three different sources, three different sukkim that the Gemara is interpreting as a build-up to chesed. And there is a nice little sefer on midos. It's called Orach Mesharim. It's written some time ago by Moshe Chayesh, and subtitled, if you look at it without vowels, you might think it says Shulchan Aruch Lamdus, Shulchan Aruch Lamidos, the guide of how to behave. So he talks about the Gemilas Chasadim and about these three Mekoros, and he says that this is really a kind of a progression. But on the one hand, so you have the Shira Sayam. Shira Sayam means the Jews are impressed. They just they want to be God-like. They see what God does to the world, what God does to the world. And say, I want to be like that. That's just a spontaneous expression of commitment how we want to be. And then Yisro tells Moshe that from a ethical world, world humanity type, universalist world, utilitarian type society, it's appropriate that people should be like this. People should care about each other, should worry about each other. That's what you need to build a society. And Moshe agrees, you're right, but from that type of perspective also, something we should impose not just as a voluntary commitment to the Jews at the Yam, but also as the bedrock of the society. And then we learn even further, because Baruch Hu says more than that, it's a mitzvah, this is how you have to be, you have to be like me, this is what I'm like, and this becomes a tzivui of Achrei Hashem Elokechem Kelechem. So that's how we understand how these three sukkim kind of build on each other. And the truth is, even with all that, we can put that all into one category of basically his damos vakel, being like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and following in his ways. And nonetheless, there's still another marker, but equally famous pasuk, or more famous pasuk, the pasuk of Yehav to Lerecha Kamocha. We have an obligation to love your neighbor as yourself, and that also is directly connected to the mitzvah of Chesed. Now, Yehav to Lerecha Kamocha, as famous the pasuk is, a very challenging pasuk. I don't know if we'll necessarily talk about it at such great length tonight, but just to understand what it means. I mean, aside the fact that it challenges us on a daily basis, but just, how do you interpret the pasuk? That it sounds like from the Rambam, as we'll discuss, that this is a positive mitzvah to do positive things for people. The same way you worry about yourself, you should worry about other people. And that's impossible, as some of the Svarim point out. The Rambam, it's a little bit like this, it's spelled out more in later Svarim, that I can't even do that for one person. I can't actively worry about even one other person like I do myself. I'm going to support my family, I'll support his family too. I'll put my kids to bed, I'll put his kids to bed also. Everything I do for myself, I'm going to do for him. I'm never going to, you can't even manage that for yourself. You can manage that for everybody else, and it's not physically possible. So there are those who understood that what we're talking about here is essentially a low stress. Really, it's a negative mitzvah. That the phrasing of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is also well known, the way Hillel reversed it, that the ger who, the potential ger who came to Hillel and says he wants to learn Kalatar Kula on one foot. So Hillel says to him, what's known as the Golden Rule, it's basically the negative version of the Havtarecha Kamocha, the Madalasrani, the Chavachalo Shabbos. That which is not, you don't think is nice, that which is not appropriate for you, so you shouldn't do it for others either. That's the core of the whole Torah, at least according to one day in Rashi. If you look at the other day in Rashi, which nobody knows about, and the Rashi says, he's just giving him a Moshe Shmur. He's saying, how would you like if somebody showed up at your house and said, teach me your whole religion on one foot, or this could be a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you want to treat a Kodesh Baruch Hu, HBCU. But we've taken this Gemara to mean that this relationship towards other people, that worrying about somebody else, at least in a negative sense, that you shouldn't want to do to somebody else that which you don't want to do to you, is essentially a low chesed. It's like a mitzvah, but we maybe see it as a negative mitzvah. And it's been quoted in the poskim as a source for a lot of activities that we don't know exactly what's wrong with them. So what's wrong with that? You have to ask them also. You wouldn't want somebody doing it to you, so you don't do it to others. Also, it's very possibly a source for the issue of damaging property. It's something we spoke about here, I think, sometime last year. And there was a discussion. How do I know it's also to damage somebody's property? We know from the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim that I have to pay. If I break your stuff, I have to pay for it. But it's not so clear in the Torah that there's anything wrong with my coming with a sledgehammer and smashing your car window in and saying, okay, here's a check, I'll pay for it. Now you're going to be annoyed, but how do you know there's anything prohibited about that? Torah just doesn't have to pay for it. How do you know there's anything wrong with my doing it if I'm ready to pay for it? So it's all discussion what exactly the source. Everyone assumes there is something wrong. This is not the kind of behavior that we're advocating. So what exactly is wrong? Well, the Torah doesn't seem to tell you what it is. So one of the strong candidates is a violation of Yehav Torecha Kamozla. You wouldn't want somebody doing that to you. So you're not going to do that to other people. So that's how a lot of voices understood that Yehav Torecha Kamozla essentially manifests itself as a negative. The Rambam sees it as a positive mitzvah. It sounds like from the pasuk. It's just a logical difficulty of figuring out how that works is the problem, but nonetheless, the Rambam has a lot of company when he basically understands you have to worry about as a positive mitzvah, you have to worry about everybody else somewhat like the way you're worrying about yourself. It doesn't necessarily mean to the same degree. We have to figure out what maybe kamocha doesn't mean to the degree that you worry about yourself. Maybe it means the way you worry about yourself. The same types of things you want for yourself, you want for other people. You're not going to be able to devote the time or the money to get it for them, but at least you want it. You want that other people should have the same type of things that you want. So that the way the Rambam sounds, and here the Rambam gets very difficult. The Rambam in Hilchos Eigel talks about Nichum Avelim and related things, and he says there that all the things that we're going to do are we do for each other, all these acts of chesed, this is derived from the Ahavta Reichai Kamalotah. But then he goes on to say a very cryptic thing, which all the commentaries try to figure out what he's talking about, that the specific chesedim that we talk about, the Zikacholim and Yechim Avelim, Achnasas Orchim, Achnasas Kala, all of these specific actions that we identify these acts of chesed with, so those are Midivrei Sofim, which we normally understand to mean Midinei Derabbanan. Midinei Derabbanan to have these specific formats, but they're all a subset of the Din D'Oraisa of Yehav Torecha Kamocha. That's a big discussion we'll touch upon a little bit tonight, and we talk about it more other times. So why do I need these Drabbanans if all of them are already within the Mitzvah of Chesed? It's a little bit of a difficult point. There are various theories that have been suggested, and we'll touch a little bit upon it tonight. But what emerges is that essentially you have at least, maybe you have four Makaros for Chesed, but you have at least two categories of Chesed, of Makaros for Chesed. You have on the one hand the Halachta B'drachov theme, the idea that we're meant to imitate God and how we are. And on the other hand, you have Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which is its own category. And a lot of Achronim understand that really these are just two separate branches of what's going on here, that are really two separate goals that both have a lot of common ground, but they're going towards two different things. The Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is more of a action-based idea to make sure people's needs are taken care of. It's more practical, it's more result-oriented. While Zalachta B'drachav is really more about you. You have to be like God. So God expresses himself through chesed, so you have to express yourself through chesed and train the quality of chesed so that you're going to be God-like also, which is really about you. It's not about other people. So that manifests itself in a lot of different things. And Avraham Avinu, as we'll see, Avraham Avinu was the model for somebody who was certainly involved in Yehav Barecha Kamocha, but more primarily was involved in creating a personality of chesed that he was merged to his descendants. That's what the Gemara says, that one of the three things is a hallmark of a Jew. You have to be a Gomer Chatzad. If he's not, then we wonder if he's really a descendant of Avraham Avinu or not. Does he have this internalized quality of chesed of his Damus Lokel? They said that Avimelech said to Avraham Avinu that I know God is with you in everything that you do, and it was apparently after stone was destroyed, so Avraham moved his tent to grass so that it should be more where people are going to be, because you see that he's not just responding to what people need, he's actively looking to try to involve himself in acts of chesed. We'll discuss more in a second. It's very clear from this week's parasha. So then he said, that's what you're about. So then you have Hashem Baruch Hu is with you. You see that that's something that, like Rav Hanan Pribot explained that this in the Sefer Nachum, that's something that is a key part of who you are. So these two different dinim could express themselves differently. We spoke last week, I don't know if you were here last week, but we spoke about how Benal Machavero sometimes are more result-oriented and are more based on what happens rather than what you're trying to do. So you find that. You find that on the one hand, intent maybe is more important for the mitzvah of being like God. You have to know what you're doing so that it affects you. While as far as you have to rest, the most intent is less important. It's just, you know, to get the job done. And the flip side of that, again, is the results. So the results are more important if you have to rest, kamocha, than they are for Islamic locale, even if you don't really have an impact in the world. But you're trying. So then that trying has an impact on who you are. And you find both ideas in the midst of staka, that on the one hand, there are some sources that seem to suggest that staka is not accomplished if it doesn't go to a worthy source. We discussed that a little bit last week, which is very hard to believe. You know, it doesn't seem to feel right. And here again, so they explain that as far as the component of tzedakah that's about the Haftar HaMocha, that's about helping people, so you got to make sure that the results are there, you got to make sure that it really gets to where it's supposed to get to. But as far as having an impact on you, so okay, a good faith effort if we're going to have an impact on you, and that's still valuable. So this is very much a theme in this week's parsha. If you read, especially you read the parsha with Rashi, and so what's going on? So here Avraham Avinu is sick, and he just had his meal, he's recuperating. The Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to visit him, and he finds that he's miserable because he doesn't have any chesed to do. And in fact, the Medrash tells us, the Rashi quotes, that originally that was the plan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, shouldn't let Avram have to schlep after the guests. They made it a very hot day so that nobody should be in the street, nobody should be traveling, so Avram shouldn't have to get up and serve the guests. And what happens? That made him feel worse. That made him miserable. He didn't have anybody to do a chesed to, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him the three malachim. But the whole thing is like a practical joke, right? Because they were malachim. They don't really need anything. These are angels. So it's all a hoax, basically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Avram go through the motions for people who don't really need it. So here a lot of Mefarshim have the same idea that, you know, what does it mean he needs it? He needs it because, not because he needs to help people, which is also part of the Zihasarecha Kamocha, but he needs to work on his chesed personality. He needs to work on his ability to be godlike. And it doesn't matter whether, in the end, it was really helping anybody. If he was going through the motions, and he was training himself even further in this quality of chesed, so then that was valuable to him. So that what he was looking for, that which was causing him pain, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that. He gave him people to practice on, so to speak, even though they didn't really have needs. A lot of Mefarshim have that idea, even though, as Rav one sefer pointed out, that's a little bit difficult because the Rambam, when he talks about all the chassadim in Hilchos Eivah over there, so he makes a big emphasis on the mitzvah of Levayas Orachim, not just on the hosting of Orachim, but especially on the escorting them out. We could talk about that next week, maybe why that's such a big deal. And he says, and this is something that Avraham Avinu instituted at that time with the Malachim. And so there, the whole context is Yehavta Orecha Kamocha. So that's a little difficult, because Yehavta Orecha Kamocha, then you have to really be helping people. So how exactly was that thing there, as opposed to the other aspect of being like, yeah, that's a little bit of a technicality. We have to figure out how that works in the Rambam. But this theme is a theme you find throughout. For example, Yeshua Ehrenberg in his Shuvas talks about whether it makes sense that you could force people to do something. So it doesn't get involved in compelling people to engage in extra chesed. And there he says, well, really, it depends. As far as you have to kamocha, it could be that it makes sense. People need things, and sometimes you have to force people to stand up. And you do find that when it comes to tzedakah, we have a theme of compulsion, and it does in prodding people to do the right thing, so to speak. But as far as the aspect of imitating God, he actually cites the pasuk of Yisrael, of Ahadakim, and Sederach Yelchuba, so that doesn't make sense that that's going to happen through forcing somebody, because the whole thing is they've got to match up with who they are inside, so that's going to be a little bit of a different component. So as far as why does the Rambam say that this is all the Rabbanans, all of these aspects of the Gecholim, again, there's a lot of different theories why it is. Rabbi Bleich once printed an article about this in the Sefer Zikaron that was published for Rashi Kambiyat and Yaakov Kovach. From there he suggested that really a mitzvah v'yahavta l'recha kamocha is enough to carry everything. But the problem is, in theory, you can have a situation where somebody thinks, okay, so I don't relate to these mitzvahs. You know, if I was sick, I wouldn't want anybody visiting me, so I shouldn't visit anybody else, because I wouldn't, I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in going to anybody's house to Shabbos, so why should I ever invite anybody over? Because I don't want it, so I don't care about that for anybody else either. So therefore, maybe Chazal had to format certain types of action. So you should realize that even though it's an extension of the same idea, but in theory I could not connect with some of these actions, so therefore I have to say, listen, these are acts of chesed, and you have to learn that this is what people want, even if this is not something that you yourself want. And Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his writings, he suggests, from along the lines of what we're saying, that it's not that if you're really helping somebody who really needs it, so then that's the Haftarach HaKamocha. But in order to train yourself, even when you when people may not need it, you have to actively stand up and look for things. So that's why Chazal had to make these extra categories. That's a possibility. But it could be also, you might be able to suggest that maybe the idea of Halach de Bedrachav, maybe that also tells us that we have to try to be godlike in the way we do things. That we have to try to take a perspective that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective in the way we engage in these chassadim. Tzfas Emes writes, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Baal HaNechamas. And we say, we say in Shabbos, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Baal HaNechamas, the master of the Chamas. So the Tzfas Emes says, why is that? Because it's only really HaKadosh Baruch Hu who can really comfort people. Because comfort out there when you want to try to convey the message that it's all going to be for the best. So we can say that, but we don't really know what it means. It's only really the Ribbono Shel Olam who really knows what it means. So therefore, this true source of Nechama only comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one could suggest that therefore also there's a unique aspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring to these chassadim that human beings don't really have access to, but you can strive to try to imitate. And that when we say V'halach D'Bedrachav is about doing chesed in a divine type of way, maybe to a certain extent that's part of the message. And Rashiva of Kambiatna, who discussed this also, made the point that the Medrash tells us that Avraham Avinu really reached the level of being like God when he buried his wife Sarah, when he performed the mitzvah of Kura on his wife in the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah. So that was when we knew that he's really been God-like. That's a hard thing to understand. The man spends his whole life doing chesed. And then, so his wife dies, everybody takes care of her. You know, anybody would do that. So why is that? This is the act that shows that he's like God. So she was suggested that everything else that could be utilitarian, could be the Haftarah for Kamochi, I'll do this for you, you'll do this for me, it'll be, well, you'll treat me well because I treat you well. But the idea of the chesed shalanis, where no one's going to be able to pay you back, so then you really know, so why am I doing it? I'm doing it because I'm Lakei Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm doing it because chesed is a part of who I am, and this person's not going to be able to give me anything in return. So when everyone did that, then Lakei Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, now you really have reached a certain madrega where chesed is really who you're about. I'll just say a few quick words about how we relate to the chesed practically. So it's, and then you know, cut things a little short. So practically speaking, so Mishnah tells us that Talmud Torah and Chesed and other things, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shiur, Mishnah beginning of Peah. So what does it mean it doesn't have a shiur? So there are some who say it means there's no minimum. It's the same idea by Talmud Torah also, that you don't have to reach any level in order to perform it. And any act of kindness or any moment of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. If it's 1 second of Talmud Torah, even if it's the tiniest gesture of chesed towards somebody else, so that's a mitzvah. There's no minimum that you have to reach in order to accomplish one act of chesed or one act of Talmud Torah. But others see it as a maximum, and that's the way it sounds like. Everything else the Mishnah is talking about maximums, there's no upper limit. But there's still a difference between Talmud Torah and chesed. On the one hand, there's things like Keah, which the Mishnah also talks about, so it's in Keah. So there's like the Turi Evin, the Shagasari, in his commentary to Maseches Chagiga, where this Mishnah is quoted. So he says that there's a difference between these things. And when it comes to payas, we say there's no shear. So what does it mean? It means there's a minimum how much you're supposed to lay off. If you want to cut off more, so then you can do that. You keep going, and there's no limit to how much you can include. But essentially, there is a limit. There's a minimum, and then there's more you can ask. When it comes to Talmud Torah, it just means that both Talmud Torah and Chesed, it means that they're just undefinable as far as quantity. It means that they're just always relevant. It's just something that's always incumbent upon you. And you take every opportunity that you can to try to fulfill these mitzvahs, but then you have to still live. So we find that there are certain limitations. A lot of them are drawn from the laws of Hashavas Aveda. When it comes to Hashavas Aveda, so which may or may not be a model for Chesed as a whole, for helping people out as a whole, you find, first of all, Gemara tells us that there is a din of Zakein Zayin Lefiflodo, that if it's not in keeping with a person's dignity, so then he's not obligated to return somebody's property. He has a right to stand on his covered abrius as his own personal protection. So it's generally assumed by the same token that you don't have to undergo bizayin in order to do an act of chesed, that if that's what it's going to take, it's going to humiliate you, so you don't have to do it. But the question, first of all, to what extent one carries over to the next. In Hilchos Bikracholim, you find pretty much agreed upon that a very distinguished person has to perform Bikracholim, even if it means, you know, he comes to the far less distinguished person, you find that there is no exemption of Zakim Ve'el Sikhlodo when it comes to bigger Cholim. So the question is that the exception? Because maybe there's an aspect of Pikuach Nefesh, maybe we'll talk about bigger Cholim in a couple of weeks. Or is it just that this is really Hashavas Aveda Din? But for the most part, it's assumed that this principle is transferred over. And then it's Machlokas HaRishon, and Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. When you see a Zakim Ve'el Sikhlodo is exempt, does that mean that he's really exempt if he wants to volunteer? You can, if you say no, it's really not right, that if it's a lowering of your covet, then it's not appropriate. Assuming that it's a real lowering of your covet, it was harfenish, it was Thomas Chacham from Satmar, who's written many, very nice far, and he has a number of truths about topics. So chesed of harfenish assumes that we're only talking about a case where people won't know what you're doing. It's not obvious that it's an act of chesed. So then maybe you could feel that it's embarrassing, and maybe you shouldn't do it. But if the act is clearly understood as a mitzvah mission, so then you assume that you shouldn't be embarrassed to admit that the first woman in Shulchan Aruch, and you don't worry if people make fun of you. And if people see that you're doing a chesed, if they want to make fun of you for doing a chesed, so what do they know? And you don't worry about such people. And when it comes to money also, so you find when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, so there is a rule that if it's going to cost you more, let's say you have to take an hour off of work, and it's going to cost you $100 per hour, to go return this property, which is worth $10. So then, you don't do it if it's going to end up causing you hassle, especially if you wouldn't do it for your own property. So then you find you're exempt. So you find also if it's going to really impinge upon you financially. So then again, you find that you're not necessarily considered to be obligated. Especially chesed, by definition, is really not about money. Stark is about money, and chesed is called gmul chesed shebagufo. It's really distinct from where you give money. This is about what you give with your time and your body, so to speak. And that's why when it comes to stakah, so stakah is not really chesed. The expression is stakah v'chesed, two separate categories. And being a gabbite stakah is an act of chesed. That's, you know, the charity thing that you do with your body. You go around collecting money. So that's really more of an act of chesed. So for the most part, you're not really expected to spend money, per se, on chesed. So there again, that's something that could, in theory, limit you. But you find that, as the Gemara already suggests, that you should be careful how quick you are to impose these exemptions. And so they call sounds like it means like whoever is too stingy with himself, he ends up that he's going to be the one who needs the chesed. That in theory there are extremes where you could say I'm exempt, but for the most part it's not kedai to play this card too often. And that's an important point. So as Chaim Kanievsky writes in his Sefer, a comment was a little bit hard to understand. He says, when the Rambam gives you this idea that the categories are dinim derabbanan, he says, for the most part, the mitzvah chesed, that would have certain limitations, like all mitzvahs have certain limitations when you're obligated, when you're not obligated. But because the Chazal came and made special categories, so it took a new level of priority, even when it's kind of extreme. So still, where do you draw the line? You gotta draw the line somewhere. It's not really clear from what he writes, what exactly he means by that. But for the most part, you find this theme, the same theme that we're talking about, coming out, that essentially you have a delicate balance here, because when we talk about, for example, also the mitzvah patam and a mitzvah. So you say that if you're involved in one mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. So if you're involved in Talmud Torah, so let's say you're a yeshiva student, for example, or you're hopefully it's not going to stop, so you should be a Jew, so if Talmud Torah is a big concern for you. So how much am I going to take away from Torah in order to get involved in chesed? So it's a complicated chesed, because the normal rule is that you're not exempt from other mitzvahs if you're involved in Talmud Torah. But on the other hand, you are, if it's mitzvah she'eshevasa se'edei acherim, it's a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else. So on the one hand, you find that chesed is endless, so it's not that it can be done by somebody else, but it's never going to be done by you anyway. It's endless, I'm sure. So you could say maybe I should always be exempt. I'm never going to finish it anyway. On the other hand, as we see, that you can't live without chesed in your life, and you certainly can't be godlike. So it's a difficult balance to find how much you do and how much you don't do, and this is something everybody struggles with, because even just trying to apply the logic directly, you come out with two opposite conclusions. So you work through this balance, knowing that on the one hand, you know, there are actual needs you have to respond to in terms of hafleret and kamal chayim, and above that, there is a general need to form a personality where chesed is a key component of who you are, in the spirit of Avraham Avinu, and that takes an extra level of effort to sometimes ensure that that's worked into your personality. But if it's not, then you're missing the whole aspect of being Avraham Avinu, and that's what the Gemara is highly critical of. So that's and that's what we see in the upcoming parasha, that Avraham made it his hallmark, and that's what's expressed through this episode with the Malachim, and it's immediately following that, because Baruch Hu says, how can I hide anything from Avraham? He's the kind of guy who's going to transmit this message to his children, and that's why I'm picking him and his descendants to be the carriers of my Torah. So that's a rough introduction to some of the general topics, and that we'll cut it short and we'll stop there. And God willing, next week we'll go into some specifics, that we'll read about. Keep your eye out, challenge. Read the parsha this week, see how many different principles of Hoknasas Arachim you can find compressed into those first 10 psukim of the parsha, and how many different limudim are derived by later sources, marching every syllable of what the Torah describes of what Avraham did. And we'll talk about that a little bit next week, and then about the Bikur Cholam, which is also in this week's parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was modeling it and visiting Avraham, and Nisam Avela, and maybe a little bit after that, just to quickly review what we spoke about the fact that chesed is a theme from the beginning of Torah, the end of Torah, throughout, and you find a number of different makaros that tell us this. You find on the one hand, we say in the Shira Sayyam, Zakeli Ba'ideyu, Maris Tabi Domolo, you should be like him. We find that Yisro tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them how to be, that they should do things like this, and Moshe agrees, and we find that the pasuk of Acharei Hashem from Telos, so you have to follow in God's ways, and all of those the Gemara interprets to be some type of source for chesed. And that's the Darkon Rishon's idea, that first the Jews said this is a wonderful thing we want to voluntarily commit ourselves to, and Yisrael then tells Moshe this is the way society needs to run, that this is crucial, and then God says it's more than all of that, it's a mitzvah, I'm telling you, you have to be like me. On the other hand, we have the mitzvah we have for Echakamotha, which has its own parameters, a whole debate whether it's a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah. The positive mitzvah is very hard to figure out how exactly you draw the lines. Negative mitzvah is a little easier to understand. Don't do bad things to people you don't want them doing to you. As the Rambam and many others understand it to be a positive mitzvah. So it's a discussion how exactly that plays out. And then he somewhat cryptically says that the specific acts of chesed that have names, those names are midivrei sofrim. It sounds like it means that the Rabbanim has to figure out exactly what that means. When we talked about how just to categorize in general the halachta bedrachov type sources against the halachta bechamocha sources that really ones about helping people, the halachta bechamocha is by actually making sure people have what they need, while the idea of chesed as a whole as being like God, that's for you, that's what you have to do in order to be like God, like having Melech said to Avram, I see that when you look for opportunities, I see that God is clearly with you, and that this could affect various things like the level of intent and the results rather than the plan, and how we find both things when it comes to Sukkah, different sources about whether you accomplish anything if you give Sukkah to somebody who turns out not to be worthy, discussion about that, and then the whole question of Avram Avinu, the final six parsha, because Parsha did him a favor by bringing him guests, but it was like apparently a joke because they were not really human beings who would eat anything, so we see that when it comes to his damas lakel, so that's not about actually getting results, and therefore that was what Avram needed, so that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected with him with at that time. And we saw how it also could affect other things like a din of kfiyas, or an idea that you could force somebody to do chesed, so maybe that could accomplish b'haftarach kamocha, but maybe as far as midos, it's not really going to accomplish too much. And we talked about some of the theories in the Rambam, what is meant by the Rabbanan, and talking about our life supports that really it's all b'haftarach kamocha, but there's some things you could miss if you don't have somebody telling you this is the way things should be. I mentioned Schoenbach's idea that they have to have samocha works as well as long as people need something. But if you don't have people actually needing things, you need these drabanans to be set up in order to get us in that way. And we discussed a little bit also some related concepts of what is the din of chesed require of us. We talked about the question of Eimon Shir, what does that mean? The Korean is no minimum, there's no maximum. So that's the Tori Evans explanation, that it means that you're never done, it's always constant. So then how do you define what you do and what you don't do? We talked a little bit about Zakim Venomus Yichrodo, something is not in keeping with your dignity. It's an exemption when it comes to lost property, but not an exemption when it comes to Bikachol. The question is, what about every other act of Chesed? And the folks around the rush, or whether you can be Machmir, so to speak, to do it if you are exempt. And what about the monetary limitations? And we're talking about a general warning of Kol Makayinas and Makas Sofa Dekas. It's not something you want to be too stingy about, because you don't want to end up on the receiving end. And then I talked a little bit about Rabbi Kanievsky's interpretation of the Din of the Rabbanan, that they give everything a higher level of priority, so it's not clear exactly how much. And then we talked about the general problem of trying to balance both these things in your life. On the one hand, your personal responsibilities of Talmud Torah and everything else, and to what extent would you say, well, chesed is possible to be done by others, or the opposite, it's just impossible to be done by you because it's endless. So what does that mean then for how much you incorporate into your life, and the recognition that if you don't have any chesed, so then you're missing the whole aspect of being godlike, and finding that balance is part of the challenge that we look to our ancestors, we look to our Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov to help us to find how to do. So we'll stop there. I wish everybody a...